Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're doing a little bit of a hybrid episode. We're going to be doing the first portion live, and then we'll get into more of the normal format, because I'm having to re-record, because as I was recording, we got a huge update here on Elon's stock sale status. So we did get SEC filings, Form 4s today, from Elon. As you can see, as that has happened, the stock has risen after hours, after a successful day today, up 4.3%. to close at 1,670, yeah, 1,067.95, not 670 yet. And then after hours, rising by another $25 per share as I'm recording here. What I had originally said in my original intro is that I was a bit surprised by the strength today, because there is still that uncertainty looming on if Elon had completed the sale, or if that was still ongoing, or what the deal was. So kind of the same stuff that we had talked about on Tuesday. But anyway, that doesn't matter now, because after hours, we do have an update on that. You can see here on Tesla's IR page, two Form 4s being filed. So if we click and look at those, we can see what the transactions here are. Obviously, these are for Elon Musk. And we can see that he acquired, so you get the little A symbol there for acquired, 2.15 million shares. And we can see down here that is from exercising his non-qualified stock options. So the pool of options that we've been talking about earlier this week. So obviously that was 22.8 million. This is only a small portion of that. And these are for transaction dates of 11/8, so November 8th, and that is Monday. So as we've been talking about, Form 2, you've got 2 days to file it. We're now 2 days past Monday. So we're seeing the Monday transactions here tonight. We should see transactions, if there were any for Tuesday, which obviously we suspect that there were, we should see more Form 4s for those transactions tomorrow. And we could see quite a few of them. Because this was a little bit confusing at first. The Form 4 is limited to, I think, 30 or 50 transactions. Yeah, 30 separate transactions per Form 4. So we got two of them here, and it was a little bit confusing at first. We'll probably get a bunch more tomorrow if there were more transactions. Anyway, 2.15 million shares here acquired. That's what the A means. Then you can see all the disposed lots here. So those are the Ds. And across this first Form 4, there's 257,000, and then we get this second Form 4, and you can see just a bunch more disposals, anywhere from a share price of 11.35 all the way up to 11.96 is what the lots were here. And the total disposed shares were 934,000 across the two Form 4s. So acquired 2.1 million, sold 900,000, leaving him with, if we see at the bottom here, 1.2 million of those acquired shares, adding to his total share count. So this is different than what I was expecting in the stuff that we had walked through on Monday or Tuesday, because based on Elon's tweet, selling 10%, I expected him to just exercise and sell all of these shares. If he ends up exercising and only paying the tax, you know, only selling the shares he needs to pay the tax burden, that's actually going to only sell about 7% of his shares. And he's going to end up, like we talked about, basically buying more stock with cash that he could have just had as liquidity, which would actually be very bullish for, you know, the company if Elon is choosing to use his cash in that way. So I'm a bit perplexed on how this all ties in with the Twitter poll and the selling 10% logic, because like I said, it's only going to be 7% if he ends up just selling the taxable portion, which is what it looks like he's doing here so far. But again, this is just a small part. But I expected it to be, I expected Elon to be selling all of the exercise shares, and this is enough to show us that that is not what is happening, at least with this chunk. So we'll see. We should get a lot more clarity on this tomorrow, but it looks like Elon may not actually end up selling 10%. As we talked about, we didn't really know exactly what 10% meant. Could have meant 17 million shares, could have meant 25 million shares. And here, Elon only selling, you know, 900,000 so far. So I'm sure we're going to see more sales tomorrow, but it's looking like maybe it's not even going to actually even end up at that 10% level. Hopefully that makes sense. I know it's a little bit confusing. But the other thing that's kind of interesting here is that this is from a trading plan that was previously adopted on September 14th. So this is not something that Elon decided to do over this weekend. It was pre-planned. These particular sales were We'll see if that's also the case tomorrow if we get a new Form 4. Elon could have canceled these, you know, if something had changed. But this was, you know, pre-planned as of September 14th. So like we talked about, Elon maybe just putting that poll out there to kind of help guide the narrative. But yeah, so I think the biggest thing for me on this is that it looks like he's not planning to completely sell all the shares that are being exercised, even though the tax burden wouldn't have changed if he had decided to do that. It would have just been basically the decision between cash or putting the remaining cash in Tesla stock. And it looks like with this lot, at least, it's going into Tesla stock. So I think that covers most of what I wanted to say on the Form 4s. And like I said, this will be a hybrid episode, so we'll carry this into kind of the rest of the news for today. I doubt this had too much impact on the stock today, but Tesla did get a price target increase from Bank of America analyst John Murphy. They've raised their price target on Tesla from $1,000 previously to $1,200 now, with the hold rating on the stock still. I don't have the note, so not a whole lot to share on it, but I did find one snippet here kind of amusing. It says, quote, "In fact, on our revised price objectives, our analysis suggests that a 10% dilutive equity raise for Tesla could fund 40 plus incremental plants and 10 million plus units of capacity, which would make Tesla effectively the largest global automaker," end quote. So he's just noting that with Tesla's $1 trillion market cap, they could raise $100 billion with just 10% dilution. I just found the 40 plus incremental factory thing there to get to 10 million units to be kind of funny. That'd only be 250,000 vehicles per factory. So I really don't know where that number is coming from. I guess maybe an average for legacy automaker factories or something like that. But obviously Tesla is well beyond that with both Fremont and Shanghai, and probably looking at more like 2 million eventually from Texas and Berlin. Tesla doesn't need 40 more factories to get to 10 million per year. They probably need like two or three. And they pretty clearly don't need to raise $100 billion to do that, though. Yeah, they certainly do have the option. Speaking of factories, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in Texas. Obviously, we know Tesla's got about 2,000 acres there for GigaTexas, but we've got a new report from the Austin Business Journal that suggests that there might be even a little bit more land in that area that Elon Musk may be involved with. So their article is paywalled, but Tesserati's got the details here as well. And basically the situation is that Travis County public documents have disclosed that Horse Ranch LLC has purchased 620 acres of land right near GigaTexas. And the manager for Horse Ranch LLC is none other than Jared Birchall, who's a legal and financial advisor for Elon Musk. He's also on the board of the Musk Foundation. So presumably Elon is involved in this, and though there is a bit of a discrepancy on whether this is 300 acres or 620 acres, the Austin Business Journal does point out that if this is indeed Elon Musk land, then across different enterprises, Elon would have control of an area there in Austin that's three times the size of downtown Austin. So the footprint here is just huge. We've, of course, been talking a lot about Elon selling stock, and seems like he does want cash right now for some reason. Seems like today he was maybe hinting at that being SpaceX related, but of course we've heard him joking or not joking about potentially starting an Institute of Technology and Sciences there in Texas. So with the stock sale and this land here, I'm kind of wondering if that is maybe what Elon has planned for it. It would be very close to University of Texas. I don't know that they'd really like that all that much, and I have no idea if that'd be a good place to put it anyway, but size-wise, it would probably work out. It looks like University of Texas is about 437 acres in terms of the campus. So if this is 620 acres, it seems like it could be a possibility. I think it's a long shot, but still fun to speculate about. And if Elon's got this influx of cash, which he seems to want right now for some reason, that's going to be deployed somewhere. So there's some value to figuring that out if possible. I mean, it's most likely something SpaceX related, but I think you could argue that a university is SpaceX related at the end of the day. Anyway, moving on here, we've got a quick update on Tesla in China. So the standard range Model Y previously had a 6 to 10 week estimated delivery time frame. That's now been increased to 10 to 14 weeks. So the standard range Model Y now fully into 2022 in that delivery range. Delivery for the long range Model Y is still projected in the fourth quarter, and for the standard range Model 3, sometime in the next 6 to 10 weeks. All right, next up, a lot of the news today was focused on the Rivian IPO. So, of course, we've been talking about this the last couple of weeks. This did finally happen today, and it really shot up. So, Rivian closing today at just over $100 per share after IPOing at an already increased $78 per share versus the $57 to $62 range in their initial S1 filing. From what I can tell, they've got about 862 million shares outstanding. I wasn't super confident in that number last time we talked about it. It didn't match up with some other reporting, but that's the number I'm seeing. Anyway, that would put the valuation at around $86 billion, which is a lot for essentially a pre-revenue company. A lot of people have asked if I have invested in it. I have not. I won't, at least at this valuation. Certainly could end up being a good investment. RJ Scaringe, CEO, today was out saying that they target 1 million, at least 1 million vehicles by 2030. I don't know what kind of earnings power that gets them. Maybe best case, $5 to $7 billion a year. Just rough math there, but that would mean they're trading at, you know, 20 times 2030 earnings with a whole lot of execution risk remaining. Certainly, if Tesla hits the targets that they have set out, they're trading at much, much less than 20 times 2030 earnings. And Tesla's actually got a track record and proven results already. Rivian does not. Doesn't mean it can't end up being a good investment, but certainly isn't something that is calling me to pull my capital away from Tesla. Next, we've got an update from BMW. This one's just kind of been sliding off the notes page for a couple of days as we've had a lot of other pressing topics, but we've got a bit more time today. So sharing some news from last Friday, BMW confirming to Autoblog that they are going to be shipping a decent number of models here without touchscreens. So BMW 3 Series, 4 Series, BMW X5 through X7, and BMW Z4 are apparently all going to be shipping right now without touchscreens due to chip shortages. Apparently with this, BMW is giving $500 off the price of BMWs that don't have the touchscreens, which it is a little bit different if you're working through a dealership and you're picking up a car that you can see doesn't have a touchscreen, but I would guess some of those customers probably did order their cars and come to find it without those touchscreens. If Tesla did something like that, obviously touchscreen is more important in a Tesla vehicle, but something comparable for Tesla, they would just get blasted in the media endlessly. And yet we didn't hear too much about this problem for BMW, but anyway, it just goes to show that the chip shortage is still definitely an issue and I think offers supportive evidence against the case that automakers are, you know, embellishing the chip shortage to cover low demand. If BMW is shipping these cars without touchscreens, pretty clearly the problem is supply chain related rather than demand. And just to be clear, that doesn't mean that demand is not also an issue, one that will continue to become a bigger issue very quickly. Still doesn't look like it's the primary constraint right at this exact moment. All right, next here we've got an update out of the COP26 climate conference. We haven't really talked too much about that, but an interesting update from that today. A group of governments and automakers, some others, have signed an agreement to transition to 100% zero emission sales of new cars by 2040 globally, and by 2035 for so-called leading markets. May not really mean a whole lot though, because notably absent from the agreement were China, US, Germany, South Korea, Japan. It's a pretty big chunk of the market from those five countries there. And then top two global automakers, Toyota and Volkswagen, also absent from signing. No surprise there from Toyota. They were actually just named the third most obstructive company towards climate policy by Influence Map, right behind Exxon and Chevron. And we've talked a lot about it. Their EV efforts have been lacking, to say the least. But interesting to see Volkswagen on there as well, and kind of ominously, I'd say. Because as we know, Volkswagen tends to talk a lot about their transition to EVs. From this, it kind of would appear that they don't feel comfortable in that transition being complete in the next 14 years. Next here, we've got an update from NVIDIA. This was from yesterday. They held their GTC event, just talking about kind of new products and product development and things like that. Whole bunch of different stuff, but one of those things that they talked about was their efforts in autonomous driving, and they gave a status update on their Hyperion 8, which isn't new, we already knew about this. It's their productized autonomous driving stack, essentially. But they shared a few more details on it, including some specifics on the actual parts involved, and they gave a timeline for it, so they said it's available to buy now for 2024 vehicle models. All right, last item for today, just a quick update out of Australia. The Prime Minister has announced a new 250 million Australian dollars, about 185 million US dollar plan for the build out of at least 50,000 EV chargers and hydrogen fueling stations. We'll see what the split is on that, but pretty decent chunk of change there for charging stations. So nice to see that for Australia. That'll really wrap it up for today though. So I hope the episode format here wasn't too disorienting, and we'll look forward to hopefully another Form 4 tomorrow to get a little bit more clarity on the Elon stock situation. But until then, thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and sign up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And I'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, November 11th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.